This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
And let's continue our coverage for a few moments here of this breaking news situation in Aurora, Illinois.
Breaking news.
Where the shooter has been apprehended now, according to officials. There was a shooting event. We don't have any information about fatalities, but the police radio calls have indicated that several officers were shot, maybe as many as four officers, and multiple civilians that have been transported to a local hospital there. So the shooter has been apprehended, but we're still waiting to hear what the casualty count is, both with injuries and deaths at this warehouse-type facility in Aurora, Illinois. It's called the Henry Pratt Company. The shooting broke out about 2 hours ago. The latest from police dispatch, at least five have been injured, but they are not confirming those numbers at all. We're just getting some audio in on this incident in Illinois as well. So let me pull that up for you. Here is a witness co-worker who says the shooter just went nuts.
No, he just said he went ballistic, is what the one guy told me. The one that came out with us, he came out, I'd say maybe 3 minutes after we came out, and he was bleeding on his arm and in the back.
And he was asked by WPLG television if he would have expected this from this shooter.
And did you think that this was somebody who was capable of doing this?
It depends. You know, something had to set him off to where he was. I don't know personally. I don't know of him because I worked not far from him.
Okay, so that's a co-worker who worked with the shooter, but didn't seem to know him very well. So that's the very latest from Aurora, Illinois. We'll keep you posted as we find a massive police and fire response. Ambulances have been leaving the scene of that warehouse, so we'll keep you posted on that through the afternoon. I wasn't planning on talking about this until I just heard Lisa's newscast about how we are much, much closer this afternoon to abolishing the death penalty here in Washington. And I told you last week, when this seemed inevitable, that we would abolish the death penalty. I told you last week, and I've told you for years and years and years, my misgivings about the death penalty. That I don't believe it makes society any safer, but that I think it's the revenge part of me, which is not the best reason for public policy. And what I started vamping on last week was Charles Campbell. And I was just going off the top of my head, you know, what I could remember of the Charles Campbell case, who was one of the people who has been executed here in Washington. And I went back and I studied the Charles Campbell case to refresh my memory. And this is why there's a part of me that still wants the death penalty in our state. Charles Campbell, in 1974, in Clearview, right on Highway 2, there between Monroe and Snohomish, or between Woodinville and Snohomish, there was a 23-year-old woman, Renee Wickland. She was out doing yard work. And that's when Charles Campbell came up, put a knife up to Renee Wickland, and threatened to kill her infant daughter if Renee didn't have sex with Campbell. Her infant daughter was Shanae. And so Wickland was forced at knife point to perform a sex act on Campbell. He remained free for a couple years after that, but That's when, in 1976, Rene Wicklund picked him out of a lineup. And law enforcement was not surprised because Campbell had been a problem since he was a kid. And so Wicklund and her neighbor, Barbara Hendrickson, they testified about the assault, and Charles Campbell was sentenced to 40 years in prison. But Washington, being as bizarre then as we are now when it comes to crime, Washington State let Campbell out of prison 7 years later. He was sentenced to 40 years, but he got out of prison 7 years later. You know why? Because of good behavior. And Rene Wicklund wasn't told that Charles Campbell was out of prison. And less than a year after Charles Campbell got out, he went back for some unfinished business. He went back to Rene Wicklund's house. Her daughter, who was an infant when he first raped her, was now 9 years old. And Charles Campbell, it was a massacre scene in that house. Rene Wicklund was nude. She had been severely beaten, strangled, raped with a blunt instrument, and then she had her throat slit. Just covered with bruises. Broken nose, broken jaw, broken ribs. Wicklund fought back. She had bruises on her knuckles, too, trying to fight off Charles Campbell. Neighbor Barbara Hendrickson also had been attacked. Her throat cut. She went over to the house to check on Wicklund because Wicklund had had the flu that week. And Barbara Hendrickson had been choked. Her throat was cut so deep she was nearly decapitated. Her earlobes were torn because the earrings she had on were ripped off her ears. And the 9-year-old girl, well, Charles Campbell's car had dried blood on the driver's seat door handle. And the little girl also had been murdered. 9 years old. I will never forget that when Charles Campbell was executed, he did not want to die. He did not want the death penalty. Heck, why should he? Last time he got 40 years in prison was out after 7. Here he was going to get life without the possibility, but maybe somehow he'd get out. And so he was offered a choice, lethal injection or hanging. And they said if the inmate doesn't choose, the default will be hanging. And Campbell wouldn't choose. And then his lawyers said that it's a violation because asking him to participate in his decision how to die is asking him to commit suicide, and that should violate Washington public policy. But Campbell was eventually put to death, and he was terrified, absolutely terrified. When they came to take him to the gallows, he refused to get up off the floor of his cell. They finally had to use pepper spray. He refused to stand on the execution platform, so they had to strap him to a backboard. He then moved his head so that the cloak nor the noose could be put on easily. It took prison officials a minute and a half to finally get the noose on him and to fix the noose before the trap door opened. Am I wrong that this guy who raped the woman gets out of prison, goes back and massacres her, her 9-year-old daughter, her neighbor? There's a part of me that has always been glad that Charles Campbell suffered the sheer terror in the hours before and leading up to his execution. As I've said, It's probably not the best reason for the death penalty because I get satisfaction out of it. But when somebody gets life without the possibility of parole, you know what they get? They get laughter on some of their days. They can share a moment with a fellow inmate. Maybe they like that evening's meal and they enjoy the taste of it. As I said a week ago, maybe a ray of sunshine comes through the prison bars some morning and they enjoy the warmth of the sunshine, something the victims can never do again. I do not think that is the best reason to support the death penalty, but it's my reason. The terror that this man experienced was probably, as horrible as it was for him, it was probably a fraction of what Renee Wicklund went through, knowing that her daughter was about to be murdered, being raped with a blunt object, trying to fight back. And so that's where we are here in Washington State. You know, with this news this afternoon, that we are now to the point of seemingly inevitability that the death penalty will be abolished in Washington. People like Charles Campbell who kill, yeah, they'll get life without the possibility of parole. But they'll have lots of moments of little joy. I'll tell you something. If we could lock these guys up in a concrete empty cube for every second, put a hole in the floor for their toilet, slide their meals underneath. If we could do that so they never have a moment of human interaction or joy, I'd be much better with abolishing the death penalty. I am unable to let go of the feeling that what happened to Charles Campbell, his execution, was the closest we could come. Trading his life for three innocent, two women and one little girl, that's not a fair trade. But it's the closest we could come because of what he experienced. And then the other aspect with abolishing the death penalty is you're in prison and you kill a prison guard, as happened in Monroe a few years ago. That's a free kill. We can't do anything more to you. So those are my misgivings as we get very close to abolishing the death penalty. Back to our breaking news. Shooting in Illinois. Four officers who were shot are all in stable condition. That is wonderful news. It was a worker at this warehouse, and we're going to get you a CBS News update here in just a second. But four cops are stable. Here's the very latest.
CBS News special report. Just outside Chicago in the city of Aurora, Illinois, police say a shooter has been apprehended at the Henry Pratt Company after apparently a number of people were wounded. We don't have exact numbers or the conditions of those wounded. Here's CBS's Jeff Pegues.
At this hour, we're told the ATF is on the scene. Aurora police have responded as well. And we know that they don't have the situation under control. We also don't know if there are injured people inside or if there are fatalities. So it's still early on in this investigation, but obviously police feel like they don't have the situation under control just yet.
Rob Hart is with our Chicago affiliate WBBM.
The Daily Herald is quoting preliminary reports from the scene saying, in their words, multiple civilians and one Aurora police officer has been wounded in this shooting.
Again, a suspect has been apprehended after a shooting at a Chicago area manufacturing plant. CBS News special report. I'm Steve Futterman.
And I will just add what I said leading into it, that an official in Aurora, Illinois, says the four officers who were shot are stable condition, but there are multiple victims being airlifted out of there as well. So we'll keep an eye on that breaking news through this afternoon. Up next in the Fastest 15, I tell you what is turning into an unbelievably crazy story. And that's that actor on the TV show Empire, Jussie Smollett. He's African-American. He's gay. And a couple of weeks ago, he said that he was attacked by two white guys who shouted MAGA at him. Called him the N-word. Called him the F gay slur word. And the police have been trying for weeks to find out any information that they can about this alleged attack. Smollett had a noose around his neck, didn't call police for a while. Then when he called them, they arrived, and 40 minutes after the alleged attack, he still had this noose around his neck. And it sounded like a phony story from the very beginning. And now the very latest on it, Chicago police this afternoon have arrested two men who are of Nigerian descent, who worked as, and the connection to the show Empire has not been exactly explained, that they're, you know, they were bit player actors on the show Empire. They know Jussie Smollett. Olabinjo and Abimbola Osundairo were picked up 2 days ago at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Right after the alleged attack, these two guys flew to Nigeria. Now, Jussie Smollett, he told Robin Roberts on Good Morning America yesterday that the attackers were white. Well, these two brothers who have been arrested, and he said he had no doubt, and he told her what the attackers' motivation was.
I can only go off of their words. I mean, who says Empire, this MAGA country, ties a noose around your neck and pours bleach on you, and this is just a friendly fight? I will never be the man that this did not happen to. I am forever changed, and I don't subscribe to the idea that everything happens for a reason, but I do subscribe to the idea that we have the right and the responsibility to make something meaningful out of the things that happened to us, good and bad.
The story sounded so phony, so contrived from the beginning. There are huge holes and contradictions in his story. It's interesting to me because I hear from the left all the time about how hateful America has gotten. If America's that hateful, why do liberals have to fake hate crimes so often? Whether it be a waitress, oh, look what they wrote on the tip line of the receipt. And they find, oh, that's the waitress's handwriting. But she got a GoFundMe and got $10,000 from PayPal who wanted to support her. Whether it's that or whether it's Jussie Smollett. And there are now suspicions that he was about to be written out of Empire. And so this was a career saver. And the guy's one of those deranged anti-Trump, Trump derangement syndrome guys. And so if he was in on it, the Chicago police have not yet said that Smollett was in on it. But the two guys that they have arrested are Nigerian, which is a stark contrast to what Jussie Smollett said about his attackers. And they both appeared as extras on Empire in 2015, and Jussie Smollett follows these guys on Instagram and works out with them. Jeez. Yeah, we got to fake the hate crimes in America because it's such a horrible place to be a liberal, right? That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
I'll tell you what. I didn't know I was going to go off on Charles Campbell and the death penalty because I just got that news that we're a step closer to abolishing it. And we've had the breaking news that we're following out of Illinois. So I still have a lot of other stuff in our Fastest 15. We'll do a second 15 coming up here on the Dory Monson Show. With all the breaking news. news this afternoon. We've got to roll things into a second 15 here. Lots of fallout over Amazon pulling out of New York City. I called it the day they made the announcement, but I got to tell you, it is frightening the level of stupidity of some members of Congress right now. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was asked about the Amazon pullout because they pulled out because of her. 25,000 jobs. It's just, we are in such a weird era where politicians are proud and thrilled if they contributed to killing 25,000 jobs for their constituents.
It shows that everyday Americans still have the power to organize and fight for their communities, and they can have more say in this country than the richest man in the world.
This is what happens when you put socialists in any kind of position of power. You get the stupidity that comes with it. Why are some people socialists when they know it doesn't work? Because it's for people who don't work. That's what socialism is all about. Taking the achievements of the diligent to reward the slothful. That's what socialism's all about. And then this is where you get another example of how unbelievably stupid this person is.
What's great is that our economy, our local economy, is already growing. So I firmly believe that if we want to take that $3 billion that we're willing to give to Amazon and invest it in our local community, we can do that. We can make those jobs. We can make 25,000 jobs. But we don't have to give away and allow our subway system to crumble so that Amazon essentially owns a part of New York City. We can create 25,000 jobs with mom and pops. We can create 25.
I'm sorry. We're going to create 25,000 jobs with mom and pops. Yeah, let's see that happen. Let's watch how that works. And no, they're not going to put the $3 billion into your community and your people, the socialist-minded there. But we're going to replace Amazon with mom and pops and create 25,000 jobs that way. It's just, I'm sorry, it's funny that, I mean, 16,000 people voted for her. That's it. That's how many people in her district voted for her. And now all of a sudden she's like the darling and she's stupid. I'm sorry, not smart. And then there's more. You know, Kamala Harris, she was a prosecutor. She's the one who lied about listening to Snoop while getting high in college a couple of days ago. But she sent out this tweet about how the average tax refund is down $170, which proves that the middle class is paying more and the rich are benefiting from the tax cut. Now, that anybody who could possibly say something like that is very, very stupid. So I know she became a prosecutor and she graduated law school, but I've known some really, really dumb lawyers in my lifetime. But you know nothing about taxes. And you're a senator? Your refund has nothing to do with how much you paid in taxes. In fact, you don't want a big refund. A big refund means you overpaid your taxes. Government got to sit and use your money tax-free until they finally send you a check months and months later, because you overpaid your taxes. Now, the reason that refunds are smaller are not because the middle class is paying more in taxes. They're not. But the tax tables were adjusted to reflect the tax cut. They're making more. They're taking home more. And they're not letting the government borrow their money tax-free. In a perfect world, I'd like to pay a little tiny bit on April 15th, because that means I didn't let the government use any of my money. I got to use it, not them. But it's not just the politicians who are so incredibly stupid. It's the media. This is WUSA in Washington, D.C., and I'm sorry, the fact that these people get anchor and reporter jobs when they know nothing about taxes?
The GOP tax overhaul of 2017 has thrown a lot of people for a loop now that they're getting around to filing their taxes, including our own Bruce LeChan.
Under the hashtag tax scam or GOP tax scam, scores of people venting. Last year got tax refund. This year, unchanged salary, owe $1,300. And worst tax return I had in a decade. I admit I voted for Donald Trump, but he has officially lost my vote in 2020.
Okay, this is just pure fake news. In fact, the far left Washington Post, they gave Kamala Harris's claim of it being a tax scam, and that's what this local news story is based on. The far left Washington Post, which hates Trump, gave Kamala Harris four Pinocchios in their fact check, a rare case of a left-wing media doing an honest fact check of a left-wing politician. But they simply said that there's no relation between your tax refund and how much you pay in taxes. We've got really stupid people in politics. We've got really stupid people as their propagandists in the media. And it just goes on and on and on. And, I mean, it's a race to the bottom right now. But I'm really concerned about our country. I really am. I don't like the deal the president's signing on this border wall. And the pathway to amnesty that's going to give to a bunch of illegals. I don't like the fact that, the White House press corps was so dishonest in their questioning of the president. The president sounded ridiculous this morning, as I played for you right at noon today. If you missed that, I'll play a couple of those in the big lead at 2. But, it's just, can we get somebody with some brains in politics? And now I'm enjoying this job way too much. Appreciate the offer, though. Okay, lots more to come, including a lot of the stuff you've been telling us. Some Feedback Friday from you coming up next on The Dory Monson Show. Like to hear what you have to say. You can reach us on facebook.com/Dory Monson, Twitter at Dory Monson, Online Trading Academy text line 98973.
Our Twitter buddy Matt is a little upset that Fast 15 was so serious. So maybe in the 2 o'clock hour we'll go a little more Fast 15 style.
Yeah, we're going
to have a special guest.
We do have a special guest coming in studio. It's all fun here and games.
Settle down, Matt.
Let's get to the Friday feedback.
It's Feedback Friday with the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM.
So one of the things that we spotlighted, a story we broke yesterday, thanks to a listener tip, was this Edmonds Diversity Commission and how they were chastising the baker over his Build That Wall cookie.
Feedback Friday.
They've decided to condemn a business owner because he wrote three words on a cookie. But let me explain to you how dangerous this is. When the government gets to decide what speech is acceptable and what speech should be condemned with a statement. So, based in, on top of that, I talked about how I think build the wall is a good idea to help stem the tide of illegals. Cleon in Bellevue writes, you continue to whistle past the graveyard when you talk about the non-existent illegal alien crime wave on the first anniversary of the Parkland school shooting. Shame on you. What are the FBI statistics for illegal aliens committing felonies and misdemeanors? I'm willing to bet the numbers are insignificant and negligible compared to crimes committed by everyday citizens. Your comments about illegal immigrants contributing to the crime wave in this country are irresponsible, wrong, xenophobic, fanning the flames of sky is falling hysteria. Okay, this is one I do need to respond to. We don't have stats. California won't share with any database when illegals commit crimes because California is a sanctuary state. Washington won't share because we're a sanctuary state. Citing any statistics is ridiculous because so many sanctuary cities, counties, states will not compile or share that information. So it's grossly undercounted. In Edmonds, I mentioned earlier today, a few years ago, an illegal who had been deported 9 times sneaked back into this country a 10th time, landed in Edmonds, and brutally raped a woman. When you say my comments about illegals contributing to the crime wave is irresponsible, of course they contribute to the crime wave. They are a part of it, and if they weren't here, any crime they commit wouldn't have happened. I mean, you want another one? The illegal immigrant this week, charged with murdering his ex-girlfriend back in New Jersey and stuffed her body into a suitcase, or it's Connecticut, rather. He claims she died when she hit her head during one last sex romp. He says, yeah, we were together, and I put her body in the suitcase, but I didn't kill her. She just hit her head. That was 24-year-old illegal. Now, if he wasn't here, that woman would be alive today. How about Northgate? Seattle police, they won't tell us the immigration status of the guy who cut off the woman's head and then got shot by Seattle police cops. So just to suggest that they don't contribute to crime, you call me irresponsible? I got to lighten things up. Let's take this into the next hour. We are going to have an in-studio guest. We'll have our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Ah, it's all coming up on The Big Show.